Amen. Good morning, church. I am so glad to see you this morning. So glad that we are able to be together and to look around and see lots of familiar faces, a lot of new faces. And just to say thank you for coming, especially if you are a first-time guest, we are honored that you've chosen to be here today. And we are thankful and hope that you will find this to be a family where you can be encouraged in your life, and most importantly, in your life and your walk with God. And we're blessed to be able to be together, and just want to say thank you for coming our way. We are always looking for happy moments, and I think, oh yeah, we slipped in a happy today. So we've got some young 20s-somethings that are C-20s that are coming through, and this is Will and Sarah, and just excited about them being with us and looking forward to telling you more about them in the future. We've got some anniversaries and some birthdays and some things that we always like to celebrate when we throw a few happy faces. And then, a good dessert is always a reason to smile. And I'm going to tell you, that snow cone is something I have missed out on this summer. So if you have a great snow cone spot that you want to let me know about that I haven't discovered yet, let me know. But anyway, today we're continuing our series on prayer, and we start with those words that the disciples spoke to Jesus when they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And we've been talking about that word Acts, A-C-T-S, not the book of the New Testament that follows the Gospels that tells us all the history of the church, the early church, but the word that just talks about what are some of the actions that our thoughts might line up with to give us some direction in how we pray, to help us to dig a little deeper into the thoughts of what it means to have a conversation with the eternal creator of the universe. That's a pretty incredible thought. And we talked earlier about how we start with this idea of adoration and how that gives us an image of who God is. And we think about who His majesty and who His might is, and just this power. And it kind of helps us to give a perspective to who He is that we're talking to. But then we talked about confession and how that opportunity in prayer is really us bringing our hearts and laying out before God who He already knows we are, and opening up ourselves to the reality of the things that we've done, and just saying, "God, I'm sorry for those things." It's that pouring out of who I am before God. So if the first part is understanding who God is, and the second part comes to just thinking about who I am and the things that I've done, and wanting to make those things right and bringing them and lay them all out before the Lord, then the third thing is looking at all that God has done for me and saying thank you. Over and over throughout scriptures, we hear those words, "Give thanks to the Lord." And so when we pray, we ought to be people that look at opportunity, look at the things that God has placed before us and has placed in our lives, and just to say thank you. To be grateful helps us in so many ways. When we look at the things that we have and we focus less on the things that we have not, we will be amazed at the ways that we feel about life. We'll be so much more optimistic. We'll be so much more grateful in the ways that we look at things that are before us and challenges that we face. So as we pray, part of our prayer life is giving thanks to God for what He has done. Now, this last word is this word supplication. And you're like, "Yeah, we use that one every day." No, I get it. I get it. But it comes from a passage in Philippians chapter 4. And I want us to use it because he talks to us, Paul writing to the church, those Christians in a city called Philippi. And he says that we should not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now I want to start at the back and work our way forward, because in Christ is where we want to live. That's my relationship to God that happens through Jesus Christ. I'm in Christ. And I find out that peace that guards my heart is found only in Christ. So many times people look at their lives and they're like wondering, where is this peace? Why don't I have this peace about life? And they're trying to find it in every other place except the place that God said peace is found. It's in Christ Jesus. But not only does he start there with that very, what I would just say, the center of the gospel, that God is calling us back to peace with him in his son Jesus. But he also says you can request things of God. You can ask things of God. And that terminology of asking things of God is the word supplication. Do you see the word supply in that? To ask God to supply something that's in your life that's missing. The word defined is actually this action or asking or begging of something earnestly and humbly. It comes from a Latin word, supplicare, which means to plead humbly before one that is in a position of authority. And so I think about that. I think about this is not just, hey, can you do this thing for me? This is a deep pleading before our Heavenly Father, a supplication, asking of God something deeply. I want to start with what we've looked at already, and we have even spent some time saying this together. But I want us to think back to that model prayer. Sometimes it's called the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to think about the four supplications that you see within this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray with, or to pray how we should pray. When he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." You remember we talked about that being the first part, that adoration. That's God, you are amazing. You are holy. You are to be revered and adored. And hallowed be your name. Then he prays about the kingdom. Father, your kingdom come. We just sang that song, "Lord, reign in me." That is a kingdom thought song. It's that, God, I want my life to be totally pleasing and within your will. That if you are King Jesus in my life and you are the king over all that I decide and I do, I want to be pleasing to my king. And so when I say, "Lord, your kingdom come," we understand also that the kingdom, according to Matthew 16, when Peter made the great confession that Jesus would build his church, and on that in that church he would give Peter the keys to the kingdom, and the early disciples wouldn't die before they had seen the coming of the kingdom. There is a sense in which the church is the kingdom of God on this earth, because we are to be the ones living within his will. But there's also a sense in which we recognize that the whole world is not yet under the will of God. And we should be desiring and praying that everybody comes under the will of God, and that his kingdom comes fully in that form of all of it, the whole world learning the love of God and the fact that God wants what's absolutely best for us. And so in that sense, praying for the kingdom to come is part of the heart that says, I want to see God's mission. I want to see God's plan for all of humanity coming to fruition fully. Yes, we see it in the cross. We see it in the establishment of the church. We even see it in the good things that are happening in small fashions all around through the body of Christ. But we realize that there's more to be done. And so we still pray and we look forward to the fullness of his kingdom. He says, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done." That's the first set I want you to think about in our lives when God has his say. I have a friend of mine who used to talk about in meetings and planning. They said, you know, I think it should be like this. I think everybody should have their say, but nobody have their way. And that's kind of this planning thing. But that's not the way it works in our relationship with God. We understand that God's will is supreme. And so we pray, Father, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's kind of the first prayer we should be thinking about. We should pray about things as it relates to the church. We should pray about things as it relates to God's will and learning more and more about God's will and what it looks like in our lives. But not only do we pray for the kingdom, we also pray for the physical needs that we have. And we ask God to supply those needs. Think about it. Give us this day our daily bread. And a lot said in that statement right there. A lot is spoken into those words. The trust, the kind of imagery that goes back to the Jews in the wilderness wandering and God supplying for them manna every day where they were given that bit of food to supply their need, but they weren't to take more than for just the day. Because God was also seeing what their level of trust was in Him. He had provided today, but did they really trust Him that it was going to come back again tomorrow? And so if they ever collected more than enough for just the day, it rotted. And it wasn't any good to eat. God was saying, give up, trust me. Trust me with your needs. Jesus would even teach about it later on in the Sermon on the Mount when He talks about not worrying. And He says, you worry about what you eat and what you drink and what you wear. He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And look at the flowers in the fields. He said, they don't labor, they don't spin or worry. I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor is dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the flowers of the field, isn't He also going to take care of you? You see, He's saying, pray about your needs. Ask God, because He cares for you. He cares for you finding the job that you're looking for. He cares for you and the people that are in your life. And He cares about the things that you're concerned about. God loves you, and it matters to Him. And He wants to hear from you about those things. So pray for your needs. But also ask God for forgiveness. Do you hear that next phrase? He says, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not only is it a challenge for us to ask for God's forgiveness, but it's also a check. Like, you got to check yourself when you come to the table asking for the forgiveness of God, because God also is going to ask you, hey, how are you doing with that guy you've been holding something out against? How are you doing with that grudge you've been holding against so-and-so? You see, it was a both and. It wasn't an either or. You forgive others because you know God's forgiving you. You ask God for forgive and be sure you're forgiving also. But then the last thing that He prays for supplication in is teaching us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, He's saying, when you pray and you ask God for things in your life, and you know, of all these parts, I think the asking of God is the one we're really good at. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, we jump right in and we're, God, can you do this? God, I need this, I need this, pray for this, I'm praying for this, I'm praying. We're really good at asking. But you know something? That's not a bad thing. We just may need to flesh out the rest of the thoughts as it comes to what our prayers look like as well. God, give us protection as we go into the fight against Satan. God, strengthen me against this temptation. God, I don't need to be around this set of people. God, I know that this is going to be coming up in front of me. Help me to be strong when I'm faced with that coming before me. Ask God. I think about that. I think about that image that we're given in Luke. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells a parable of a traveler where Jesus, again, the first part of this chapter is the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, or the model prayer. But then Jesus in verse 5 starts with this statement. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and he's come to me and I don't have any food to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not give up, get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity or your endless knocking, he will surely get up and give you as much bread as you need. He says, there's this sense in which, because you're like, hey, no, really, I need your help. Can you take care of this? Can you help us with this? And he goes on to say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And I think about that, and I think about this phrase, that the ask is praying with expectancy. That seeking is praying with effort. I saw a little clip on my mom. I had visited my mom earlier this week, and she had written something down, as she's often to do. I'm sure to send me. Well, I just saw it before she sent it, and it says that we should pray with full expectancy of what God is going to do, but we should also work as if it all depended on us. I thought, that's pretty interesting. That's the seeking aspect of it. Lord, what do you want me to do so that I can be part of this answer to my prayers? You know, I want to pray for the world to be saved, but Lord, who is it that I'm going to have a conversation with? Lord, I want to pray to see good things happening in our community, in our world, in our country, but what am I doing to be a part of that transformation? And then knock. The idea that you just keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on praying. And you don't give up. Just because you don't see it happening right now doesn't mean that it's not in the process of happening. Don't give up on God. Now, that's not always easy. Because sometimes we look at prayers and we've got to ask some questions. Hey, if God answered this request, would it bring glory to Him? Would this prayer request, is my heart in this advancing God's kingdom? Is this answer to a prayer going to help other people? Is it going to help me grow spiritually? See, sometimes we need to look at the things that we're asking of God. God, make me the most popular kid in my class. God, make me, you know, I really want that brand new Mustang. God, you know, and we start looking at all these things, asking for certain things. Is it really about God and His good, or is it really about me? Sometimes by looking closely at our request, prayer can purify us. Check the things that we're asking for as we pray. Dig deeper into the motivations of your heart as you pray, and let this be part of purifying your heart. Ask. I read this not too long ago in a book by Bill Hybels titled Too Busy Not to Pray. And it said this: if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But when the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, then God says go. And I share that because in the midst of our praying, one of the greatest challenges to prayer is when that answer is not what we wanted it to be. And I imagine as I look around this room, and I know many of your stories, and I know many of the, and definitely not all, but I know a lot of the things that you've been through. I know that in this room there are a lot of prayers that have not been answered like you wanted them to, in the timing in which you wanted them to be answered. I understand that, and I understand that that is part of the greatest challenge that we face as people of faith. Because see, the faith is brought is found in the middle of the ask and the not yet. What happens when you know the answer has not been a yes, or you know it was no, or it didn't happen? God allowed the will of somebody to continue this person wasn't changed, they weren't transformed in the timing, and that I'm thinking about in my own life. I was 19. I was about 17 when we found out my dad had cancer, and 19 when I was at college and he passed away. There were a lot of prayers offered in those 2 years to heal my father. And as I continued to watch him get weaker and weaker and weaker, I have to be honest that affected my faith. I mean, it was a very difficult, challenging thing that happened in my heart in those moments, because prayer is supposed to be something that when we ask, we know God loves us, we trust God, and yet there is not the response that we've been asking for. And that's hard. And at that moment, there comes a place where we as followers and people of faith say, I trust you, God, even though I don't see why at this moment, I'm still going to trust you. I was praying for a physical healing, and maybe God was planning for getting better forever. You see, there's difference there. I'm asking for you to be healed now, and God is healing you forever. Years later, after Natalie and I married, we had been married a couple of years when her mom had a bout with breast cancer. 2 years later, or three, her grandmother had a bout with breast cancer. And beginning in those processes, my wife, over the next 10 or 15 years, was praying a prayer that her girls would never have to see her go through that fight. 15 years or so of praying that prayer that I would not have breast cancer. And yet, when that diagnosis came, let me tell you something. That's a pretty devastating effect on what happened to those 15 years of prayer. God, I've been asking and pleading and asking that this would not happen in my life, and now here it is that I would not have cancer, but I have cancer. And it's in that moment that you stand before God and you say, I don't understand. I do not understand this right now, but I still trust you. I know that you love me, and I still trust you. And it was 10 years ago, this coming October, that we received that diagnosis. And for her not to have cancer today is an answer to the prayer of her not have it for her not to have cancer. Even though she had to go through all that she had to go through, she doesn't have cancer today, praise God. And there are other people that you have been with and you've watched, and you see those journeys, and you know the emotion that I'm talking about, whatever your story is. And what I'm saying is God is there with you, even when the response is not what you wanted it to be. And for that, I want to take you to one of the last moments of Jesus' life on this earth. Jesus is anticipating, and he knows his death is coming. He knows why he's here. He knows what his purpose is. And he has come to the end of his life. And he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the scripture says, I'm going to go over, he says, my soul is overwhelmed. This is in Matthew chapter 26, and beginning verse 38. He said to his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me. You see, the cup was the cup of death, this cup of suffering, the cup of having to be the sacrifice, the only sinless person that could have paid the price for all of our sins. He said, if there's any other way to do this, God, I have to think that Jesus in his lifetime, because of the prevalence of the Roman crucifixion as a means of punishment, I have to think he had seen the execution on the cross. He had seen it around Jerusalem. He must have observed it from afar and watched and knew what was about to happen to him. And his prayer was, God, I don't want this to happen. God, please, I don't want to have to go through this. But then at the end of that prayer, as he finished that prayer, you see the heart of Jesus. And it's the heart that I hope we can have in us in the middle of these moments where our answer is no. Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. But yet, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Over all the earth you reign on high. Lord, reign in me. God, I want your will done in my life. Even in moments where I don't see it, I don't understand it, I don't know why or where or the reasons, but I trust you. And Father, if it's your will, I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to go on. I'm going to keep walking in your way and in your will. I know it's not always easy, but I want to challenge us to think about how we respond in those moments. Ultimately, our request and our resources, our responses, everything of our lives are to be centered on God and on His will and on His kingdom. And so today, as we close, I want to close in a little bit different way. I just want to ask you to bow your heads and to stop right now and for us just to pray. You praying where you're sitting. You praying about the things in your life. You praying about things you need to confess to God. The things that you need to thank God for. Maybe it's something that you need to ask God for. And maybe it's just asking God for the strength to get you through those moments between the no and Father, I trust your will. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly we seek you. Father, we pray that you will give us the faith that we need to trust. Father, to continue to hold your hand, continue to walk through life in the face of adversity, in the face of challenge. Father, in the face of moments where our faith is weak, we pray for your strength. God, we thank you for people around us that can hold us up and encourage us. God, we thank you for people that can walk with us through those difficult, dark moments. And most of all, Father, we thank you for your love for us. God, we ask you for your forgiveness when we fall short. We thank you for times like this when we can be together and we can study from your word and we can think about our relationship and our connection to you and the things that are most important in life. Father, as the world is throwing so many things at us, we pray that you will center us on your will for our lives. Father, we pray for our young people as they're going back to school. We pray for the opportunities that they have. We pray for you to use them as ways in which to influence and impact for good the people around them. Father, we pray for those that are struggling, those moms and dads that are trying to answer questions that are just, we have to trust into your hands. Father, we pray for those that are grieving losses, some that are fresh, and Father, some that just never really soften. And Father, we pray for those. We pray that you bless those and you help us. Help us to continue to seek your face, Lord. Help us to follow you in all that we do. And Father, help us to one day find our way into your presence by the grace and the mercy of Jesus. And it's through his name we pray. Amen. This morning we sing a song at this time, and it's always a song just to cause us to reflect and to think about our lives. And it's a challenge to say if there's something that you would like to publicly confess and ask for prayers over, just to surrender and just say, God, I'm struggling with this. There's a whole room of people who want to pray for you. But we also know that sometimes there are moments and there are private things that you'd rather to talk to somebody one-on-one. Our elders will be in the back of the room as well as one down front. If there's a way that we can encourage you today, we want to do that. And most importantly, if as we started talking about that peace that is in Christ Jesus, if you're not yet in Christ, if you have never confessed your belief in Jesus, if you've never turned away from the sins, if you've never been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Romans chapter 6 talks about how we are buried with Christ in baptism and we're raised to walk in a newness of life. If you'd like to have that newness of life today, it can be yours in Christ Jesus. If there's any way we can encourage you, won't you come as we stand, as we sing together.